Tom Batchelor with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, looking at the Supreme Court, and the term included cases that were not to be heard before the Supreme Court, declined. And two cases illustrate, to me, as much as the cases already before the court or taken to for the future. This, Cowell versus Benson, if I understand, this is Michigan lawmakers setting term limits for their colleagues and themselves. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit upheld that ruling that these term limits, 2 4-year terms for members of the state Senate, 3 2-year terms for members of the state's House, are to be upheld. The Supreme Court turns it aside, and I believe that means the Supreme Court has now vouchsafed term limits in Michigan as we already have in other states. Do I read that correctly, Richard?
Yes, you do. I mean, and it's a very interesting case because it shows you the difference in the ways in which the Supreme Court addresses federal changes of districts and term limits, and states do it. There was a case called Thornton, and in that particular case, what Justice Thomas, amongst others, held was that the United States Constitution sets out the qualifications for office. Have to be a citizen, you have to be over 30 years of age, and it is not for the states to add any other kinds of conditions. You have to pay your income tax, you can only serve for 4 years. It was done this way, and so what they did is they struck down a system of term limits that had otherwise been put into play. Then when you get to the state, there's no kind of similar provision there. So what you have to do is to turn this into a somewhat strange First Amendment case, saying if you limit the amount of terms, then you're limiting the way in which you speak. Well, this is crazy because you can make the same argument if they allowed terms indefinitely. You're abridging my right to speech because it turns out I can't get people out because there's no term limits in place. And so the effort that was set aside by Judge Thacker, he was exactly right to say we're not going to take a structural conversation in the state constitution and turn it into a federal First Amendment case, which allows us to strike these things down. If you decided to do that, then what happens is the next time they double the length of the limits, is that also going to be a violation of First Amendment rights, ballot participation, or the rest? I think the real question is the First Amendment allows you to speak, but it doesn't allow you to dictate to the state how they organize their internal affairs. Now, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Well, the answer is you cannot, in my view, make an intelligent judgment about term limits unless you know something about the length of the terms. I thought the big mistake in the original federal proposals that took place 20, 30 years ago was that they wanted to have only 3 terms in the House and 2 in the Senate. I think that's much too short. There's just too much turnover. There's not enough institutional memory that allows things to go place on that. And so Richard Epstein's view is you make them much longer. What you're trying to do is to neutralize the inordinate power of people whose accumulated seniority allows them to dictate the way in which one of the branches of government run. So Epstein's proposal is you have 10 terms in the House, it's 20 years, and 3 or 4 in the Senate, because that gets rid of all the long termers, but it doesn't destroy internal constitutional continuity. And I think the Michigan terms were too short. I would double them and maybe even triple them, because you have to understand what the objective is. The great disadvantage associated with territorial voting is, to put it quite bluntly, I cannot vote against Nancy Pelosi. She's in San Francisco. I'm sitting here in Connecticut, right? And I want to vote against her. I would spend a lot more of my votes getting rid of her as Speaker of the House than I would to put anyone in my nondescript district. Well, once you understand that particular problem of territorial situation, you realize that incumbency has huge negative externalities by creating these distortionate influence. And the term limit is a very effective and neutral way to stop that behavior without singling out Nancy Pelosi and letting Jesse Helms of a previous day go through. So that's why it is I'm in favor of them. I want to get rid of the outliers, but I don't want to consume continuity. So I'm in favor of long-term limits and I'm against short-term limits. But what the Sixth Circuit said is, hey, Epstein, that they were talking to me. You should address those things to the state legislature. They run their own state constitutional commission. Don't address it to us. And what he pointed out quite correctly was that the Michigan POTUS had spoken through their constitutional deliberations, and he was not going to upset it. So I think he was right. The basic proposition is in a federalist system, it turns out that the states have a sovereign constitutional right within their own domain to do something that's quite wacky. Now, notice the contrast between this and all the stuff that you talked about in the Moore case.
Yes.
Under those circumstances,
One minute, Richard. Go ahead.
Okay. In the Moore case, I think it's pretty clear what's happening is there is a federal institution in place for choosing federal electors. And what the state is trying to do through its weird application of its own substantive provisions is to usurp the power of the legislature to set these things and to set it itself. But in this particular case, there's no federal mandate. There's no federal hook whatsoever. And generally speaking, it is a terrible mistake when you're doing constitutional adjudication to try to take First Amendment individual rights arguments and use them to dictate state structures. I wouldn't want to do it at the federal level, and I wouldn't want to do it here. And so in this particular case, I think that the decision was rightly turned down, and I think it will become a powerful precedent going forward.
Professor Richard Epstein, the Hoover Institution, reviewing this year's court. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.